This section is about how sadhus appear in the form of trees. This is the glories of Vrindavan's trees, the Vriksha Mahima. The sadhus appear on the trees. The trees serve the divine couple. This is chapter 11, 52. This is describing that. Ayon yascharya rupa pakatita sakale spardha yan yon yam ucher divya divya arnantir lasarati madranalpa satkalpa rikshe lagnaischa nantu shaka sunaga manimaye payasur pushnogir gandashrag vastra bhakshyadi bir anupataner nomi vrindavanam tam. All glories to the forest of Vrindavan, where many wonderful, unlimited, jewel-studded desire trees compete among each other to provide various ornaments, fragrances, garlands, garments, and foodstuffs to the divine couple. So here it must be what it says, and I wanted to see that the jewel-studded desire trees. Divya Divya Nantala Sarati Madhuralpa Siddhava Rikshe Agnash Chananta Saka Sanaga Manimaya Manimaya Prayasur Bhushanangar Ganda Shrag Vastra Bhakshadi Vir Anupataner Nomi Vrindavanantam. So they're competing with each other. Even the trees are competing. Find the gopis. One gopi makes a garland, and the other gopi says, oh, you made this nice garland, and I want to make one better than that. And everyone says, oh, this is a very beautiful garland she made. Or he, whatever, usually gopis, mandris. Sometimes Krishna makes also. Then the gopis see it, one gopi sees, oh, it's a very beautiful garland. How did you make it? I want to make one better than this, for Radharani or for Krishna. So it probably explains, although the whole platform is service and pleasure of Radha and Krishna, and there's no envy there, which we have a hard time understanding from our platform, from our Atmana Manyate Jagat vision. We're envious, so we can't really see. What is it like to see without envy? What would it be like to see without envy? What would it be like to see without greed? What would it be like to see without lust? What would it be like to feel without feeling angry? This is a desirable state of consciousness. Of course, it's the liberated soul who has that vision. But we have to strive for that. So the competition there we hear about and read about in the spiritual world is envy-free. It's love-based competition. Oh, you love Radharani so much. You made such a beautiful garland. Oh, I have to increase my love. And maybe when my love increases, I can be inspired by that love to make it. That love itself will inspire me to make even a better garland. Because the garland is what? An expression of love. The garland is made of what? It's made of your love. Love flowers. The flowers of your love are expressing the colors of your heart and these designs of your mind render various pleasing services. So then your heart takes the shape of the garland and you offer that heart's garland to the Lord. And then Krishna, this is very beautiful. The other gopi says, oh, her heart's so beautiful. And the garland's so beautiful. I want to increase the beauty of my heart and the love of my heart. So it's competition. But it's not like, oh, you should die. You should die and not make those garlands anymore. So they'll only take my garlands. Because envy here is kind of fraught with the extinction bhav. You're so good, better you die than I can shine and shine forth and show how good I am. If you die, then I can shine forth, whatever. But there, everyone is eternal life, and everyone lives eternally together, harmoniously. So we see, even here, it's amazing to see that the trees are competing with each other. For what? To give. Competition to give. It's a nice basis of competition. Usually we're competing to get. I'm competing with this guy to get a job, and he's competing with me. I'm trying to get the job so he doesn't get it. Competition to win or competition. We say competition to win. I'm competing to win, to get the victory. But here is what's competing to give. They're competing to do what? To give things to Radha and Krishna. But no one's getting anything. Whether you give the most or the other guy gives the most, everyone's giving and everyone gets the same return. No one gets one. It's not win, place, and show. Not that one person comes in first, the other person comes in second, third. Win, place, and show, they say. Everybody wins. And the spiritual firmament is win-win. I win, you win, we all win. It's wonderful. It's a wonderful place. I say wonderful. It's a wonderful. A wonderful place. I mean, we talk about this concept. At least I never heard about it till the last 10 years or so. I guess it's some new twist in business dealings or so. Stephen Covey or somebody like that. Seven Steps to Success or Seven Steps to Rebirth or something. And then, before, when I grew up, it was like win and lose. You win or you lose, bus. There's no in between. There's no question of dual winners, isn't it? How can you have two winners? You have a race, two guys win. How's that possible? Even in horse racing, they say one by a hair, you know, the one whisker of the horse was further forward than the other horse. Photo finish, they have terms like that. Photo finish, and they take photos and they say, oh, this guy's nose was quarter inch more than the other guy's nose. That's how they measure. So someone wins and someone loses. Someone gets a trophy and someone cries. But in the spiritual world, everyone gets a trophy. All are winners, none are losers. So all the trees are competing to what? To give. To give what? To give their ornaments, whatever they have, whatever they can produce and create. To give their fragrances, their garlands, their garments, their foodstuffs to the divine couple. There's a couple of richer trees. We read in this very astounding description. I forget where it is, maybe going to Lilamrita or one pastime, I forget. That the gopis, when they bathe in Madhyan Lila at Radhakund, and they all took bath there. When they came out, they all expressed their desire to have new clothes, to wear new clothes. So then what was happening at that particular time is watermelons were in season. So then inside the watermelon, Vrindadevi stuck a set of clothes for everybody. Inside the watermelon. There's some pastime. So then they opened the watermelon and found a set of clothes inside. It's like something extraordinary, like, you know, hallucinogenic or something. Clothes inside the watermelon. So the trees itself, it says that they produce dresses and they produce ornaments. Okay, flowers and garlands and honey, beehives. Okay, that's standard fare. We see that and even in this world. Have you ever gone out to a sari tree or a choli tree or a chunari tree? Chunari tree, or an oil tree. You go to a tree and there's little bottles of oil hanging on the branches. It says that fragrances, ornaments. You go to a tree, a gold bangle tree, and you shake the tree and all these gold bangles, like you shake a tree and fruits come up, and you gather up all the fruits and enjoy them. So you, a kankan pear, kankan briksha, you shake the tree and all these gold bangles fall up. So the trees are providing ornaments and fragrances and garlands and garments and foodstuffs to the divine young couple. So these are some wonderful services that the trees do. So what do we draw from this? Okay, the devotee, Jivarasupaya Krishnaranati Das, the devotee is Satchinananda Rupam. And his body is transcendental, Diksha Kali Aprakrita Deha. At the time of Diksha, one gets an Aprakrita Deha. Transcendental body. And there's two bodies existing. There's a transcendental body coexisting with a prakrit kalevaram, the material tabernacle. But it's there. It's already manifesting. Just like the soul comes out of the womb. He has a body. He'll be an adult male. It's already there, but now he has to grow. He's got it. He's just some little baby, and now he has to grow. So diksha is like babyhood. It's like birth. It's called bija. So what's born in the heart is our prakriti deha, diksha kali prakriti deha. The spiritual body takes birth in the heart. Then it develops by sadhana bhajan, by meditation. And gradually the material body drops and that body manifests. Just like the caterpillar drops his body and becomes a butterfly. The tadpole gives up his body and becomes a frog. So the nityabhata jiva gives up his conditional body of ignorance and assumes his nityasiddhadeha and goes on to the spiritual world in the prakriti dham. So the more that he touches that dham, a prakriti dham, the sooner his body develops and manifests and expands with all the qualities and bhavas necessary to enter and serve in the prakriti dham. That is what bhajan is all about. Bhajan is about developing a prakriti bhavas, transcendental emotions, transcendental feelings. So these devotees these tree devotees, these devotees in the form of a tree, they're atmas, they're living consciousness, and of course, they're in these bodies of trees, but their expression of devotion is not limited to their body. They're able to express unlimited avenues of devotional offerings, even from the vantage point of a body of a tree. So not thinking, I'm a tree, I can only offer fruits or flowers or honey from my branches. There's no limit to what I can do. In Nectar Devotion, Prabhupada said there's no limit to the expression of bhakti. Bhakti cannot be impeded by any, cannot be stopped or hindered by any material impediment. But no, bhakti is transcendental. So the body and its conditions, we have to follow some rules and regulations in terms of Arjun Marg and Vaidhi Sadhana. But in terms of seva, we can do manasi seva. Bhakti can go on and on and on. Because bhakti is ultimately an expression of the Atma, not the body. Bhakti is an expression of the Atma, not the mind. Bhakti is transcendental, not material. So the transcendental expression of bhakti is now operating through material body and senses, and appears to be somewhat limited, what we think we can do or what we can do. But the trees in Vrindavan, they're also devotees, they have a particular external form. So we might say, I'm a human being, how can I produce flowers? How can I produce clothing? How can I produce ornaments? How can I produce foodstuffs? We can do all these things. We can do all these things. We, as human beings, we can produce ornaments, fragrances, garlands, garments, foodstuffs to offer to Radha and Krishna. There's no limit. Because our form enables a fuller expression of consciousness and conscious will, the human form. But when we come to the transcendence, then any form of devotee, whether he's tree or human being or peacock or whatever, they can offer any type of service. Anganiyasya sakalendriya vrittimanti. So this is the tattva, that there's no limit to bhakti, there's no limit to the expression of bhakti. So when a devotee starts to give up his false ego and identify as a pure servant of Guru and Gauranga and Krishna, then he assumes the spiritualized quality of the iron rod and fire. He becomes fireized or spiritualized. He starts to assume a type of unlimited ability and a type of a kind of power by which you can do many things. You can do many inconceivable things, all from the human form. He can influence those around him or influence those at a great distance, or he can even change the shape of the world. A devotee of the caliber and transcendental transparency. Prabhupada was transcendentally transparent. So much of the pure chit shakti and spiritual energy was flowing through him that he was able to change the course of the world in a significant way. And it's going on even 40 years after the disappearance of his external form, his bhakti prabhava is shining on and ever new waves of influence and productivity and spiritual benefit for people all around the world through his taste, through his movies, through his vani. His guru vani, his bhakti vani, eternal sound vibration, Shabda Brahman. Some people have doorbells. And you ring the doorbell and says, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Some of our students have these doorbells. And you're talking on the phone and you hear, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram. Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. And so you're hearing on the phone, people are hearing in the house, the man at the door is hearing it, and it's Prabhupada chanting Hare Krishna mantra, bhakti, transcendental vibration. So these trees, it's not out of the question for a liberated soul to be able to offer a variety of fantastic services. Garlands, fragrances, ornaments, garments, foodstuffs. The divine young couple. Nature of the trees in Vrindavan. That they're doing so many wonderful services. And this is chapter 3, verse 98. Glorifies Tulsi. Tulsi's a little tree in Vrindavan. She's little but big on devotion. She's Amsha of Radharani. Brindadevi's the Kayavyu of Radharani. And Brindadevi expands with a little bush, little tree. Like a tree, little tree. Baby tree. But she's small in size but big in service. Sri Krishna Piya Divya Ganda Tulasi Bedar Anantai Stata Santanair Harichandanair Aganite Kapa Drumanan Vane Diya Neka Suparijata Vipanair Mandar Brindarapi Rajishno Harivalabhaish Chabosho Nipai Kadamber Vite. This land of Vrindavan, Sri Krishna Priya Divya Ganda Tulasi, is nicely decorated with unlimited transcendently fragrant Tulsi plants, which are extremely dear to Krishna. This is the translation of Sri Krishna Priya Divya Ganda Tulsi. Sounds a lot better in Sanskrit. Sri Krishna Priya Divya Ganda. Tulsi has Divya Ganda. She's very dear to Krishna. Sri Krishna means that she's very dear to Radha and Krishna. Tulsi is very dear to Radha and Krishna. And she has a transcendental fragrance. Divyaganda. And moreover, her plants are very dear to Krishna. Innumerable small tulsi plants, ananta, as well as many sandalwood trees and desire trees, increase the beauty of Vrindavan. Hari Chandan means sandalwood and desire trees. Aganita Kabujaman Vane. These Kapha Vrikshas, they increase the beauty of the forest. This abode of Vrindavan is also decorated with Parijat, Mandara, Nipa, and Kadamba trees, which are extremely dear to Sri Hari. These are all, of course, Leela Vrikshas. All these trees are Harivallava. They're all Harivallava Vrikshas. Harivallava Kalpataru. Very special category of tree, Harivallava. They're beloveds of Hari. And they play key roles in his pastimes. These particular trees that are mentioned here are all mentioned also in Rasa Panchadaya. When Shukadeva Goswami, when Krishna left the Rasa dance, and the gopis went searching for him. And of course he left with one special gopi, Radharani. But as they came from tree to tree, then they would say, "Oh Nipa tree, have you seen the son of Nanda pass this way? O Mandara tree, O Parijat, O Kadamba tree, O Ashwat, O Ashoka tree, O Plaksha tree, and Nyagrodra, and all different types of trees." and they're all being mentioned here. And they're very dear to the Lord because these trees, they have different types of flowers, and they serve Krishna in his different pastimes when he's decorating Radharani. And they also serve Krishna when the gopis are picking flowers to make for him. And he often interacts with these particular trees, Mandara, Nipa, Parijat, and Taurus Tulsi, goes without saying. These are special trees. Kadamba is number one primary tree of Krishna's favorite. What's Radharani's favorite tree? Tamal tree. Favorite in some ways, and not favorite in other ways. Kadamba tree is also a favorite to Radharani because she likes to pick flowers from that tree, make a garland. Because it's Krishna's favorite tree, so Radharani's favorite tree. Your favorite is my favorite. Whatever you like, I like. Like someone might say, what do you want to eat? Oh, whatever you want, I'll take. So Radharani is, she knows that Krishna too much likes Kadamba flowers, so then she also likes. But she doesn't climb the trees. Kadamba trees. Krishna's like a monkey. Krishna, he climbs the trees, because coward boys are special, they have specialities. I don't know how many of you ever, because you're all from the city, but if you grow up in the country, climbing trees is one of the main things you do. It's a challenge. Boys like a challenge. Any kind of challenge, boys like to take it up. Challenge, competition. It takes a lot of strength, because some trees, they don't have any branches for about 10 feet, so you have to hoist yourself up there with monkey legs and inch your way up the tree and then get to the branches, then you can fly up to the top. So Krishna, he climbs the Kadamba trees also, and it's a very good place. Kadamba trees are very good for climbing because the branches are even on both sides. They go like this. Some trees are alternating branches. I think Tulsi is also even, but she's a little. I have a branch here and a branch here and a branch there and a branch here. So Radharani, her favorite tree in one sense is Kadamba, but also the Tamal tree plays a key role in her pastimes, because the Tamal tree reminds her of Tamal Krishna. And in moments of separation, she embraces the tree, and sometimes she mistakes the Tamal tree to be Krishna. When a peacock perches in the upper branches of the Tamal tree, and Radharani sees the peacock, she thinks it's the peacock feather on Krishna's head. And by Vibhram and whatnot, she maybe sees Krishna at a distance or sees some gopi with a yellow sari like Tungavidya. And then she mistakenly thinks that this dark, curvy, bent tree of Tamal is actually the body of Krishna. And he's wrapped with a yellow dhoti, Pitambara dhoti, and peacock feather in his hair. She goes and embraces the tree and then collapses in ecstasy. And one place in Padyavali, I believe it says that Radharani takes the black juice or some juice that comes from Tamal tree. She taps the black juice like a maple sap, and she takes that juice and she makes a painting of Krishna on the floor of on the Brajaraj, an outline of Krishna, and then she lies on that picture when she's in separation to have the sensation, Namrukun Lila. That Krishna's form is a Brajaraj Murti. We have Chitra Murti that can take some canvas and paint the Lord and worship the Lord. Many people do. And the Murti made of, Prabhupada says that there's Murti can be made of seven substances. Can be made of metal, stone, jewels, wood, and also clay and painting also. And of course Manasik Thakur. So Radharani would make a Murti out of Tamal juice, black Tamal juice, Tamal Ksham, painted on the ground and then cry in separation, lie on that image of Krishna in the it's a Brajaraj Murti, you could say. The Tamal trees, and sometimes the gopis, they play a trick on Radharani, and then she knows that once she embraced, sometimes she's embraced the Tamal tree, and the gopis would laugh and say, oh, and you're praying Vibhram, you've embraced the Tamal tree. Look, see, Shama's coming from a distance. And sometimes other times she's in Brahm, and then they say, oh, go embrace your Shama. Shama just stands there. Shyam is coming to see Radharani, then he just stands there like this and freezes like he's the branches that like a tamal tree, dark and glossy chest like the dark and glossy trunk of the tree, and arms bent this way, that way, and the peacocks and the branches and this and that. So then the gopis say, "Oh, look, Radharani, you know, this tamal tree." And she says, "No." She said, "Why don't you?" And they joke with her. They say, "Radharani, why don't you embrace the tamal tree?" Krishna stands there. She says, "No, I'm not. You embarrassed me last time. I did that before, and you all laughed at me when I embraced the tamal tree. I'm not going to embrace." She said, "No, just go ahead and see." She says, "No, I'm not going to make a fool of myself again and embrace that tamal tree." So Krishna's standing there. He's getting a little impatient, but somehow he's holding his own. And then Lita kind of pushes her. Come on. No, just try. See, maybe this one's different. So then she puts her arms around the tamal tree, and all of a sudden the branches go like this and go around her. And then she gets a warm, loving embrace. Ananda Kanda Bhagavan Ki Jai. Ajke Ananda Ki. Jai Jai Shri Radhe Shyam. So we'll continue with the glories of Vrindavan tomorrow. Braja Creamy Mahima. Braja Creamy, I didn't say cream. Braja Creamy Mahima. The glories of the worms of Vrindavan. Because now we're coming, we've gone from the dirt to the grass, to the lotus to the trees. So these are the vegetable kingdom. Now we're going to animal kingdom, from the lowest life form. So this will be, we're taking evolutionary progress here. Maybe we from blade of grass, and then we become a lata, than a tree, then we're lucky we become a braja worm in Vrindavan. So we'll hear about how a birth is a worm in Vrindavan, is the very topmost birth. And then we'll hear about becoming a worm in our next life. And then we'll hear about obeisances to the worm. So you never knew that worms had it so good until you hear about the worms of Vrindavan tomorrow.